you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
This reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on in the order that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. This comes from chapter 3, verse 12 in the book of Philippians.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, March 8th, 2024. Alaric always makes sure it's written down in front of me so I have the right
date. You got it right.
I got it right. We're off to a good start. In fact, last week, if you were tuned in, we were talking about honor, looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And we were short on time. There was so much good discussion and comments and thoughtful interaction that I said, Jason, summarize it. We only have a minute left to go. So I'm going to get out of the way. We're going to jump right into verses 12 through 21 with the theme of honor. I hope you all will be listening for points of application as we can model Christ into our hurting world and be engaged proclaiming the good news message as we go wherever we go. But have an acute attention towards the word honor and how we can honor the Lord and honor each other through the discussion today. So, Pastor Jason, what do you want to share as opening context?
Well, last week we talked about Paul is writing this letter to this town called Philippi. And this is a Roman retirement community. Honor is high on the docket there. And there's two kinds of honor. There's ascribed honor and attained honor. And Paul, as he writes this letter, he gives the people of Philippi, both of them. He says, here's my ascribed honor, circumcised on the eighth day, people of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews. He goes, I am amazing. In a worldly sense, I'm amazing. And then he goes, listen, here's my attained honor, what I did then because of that. He goes, I'm a Pharisee, an expert in the law. To zeal, a persecutor of the church, to righteousness under the law, blameless. He goes, on the ascribed honor and the attained honor fronts, I'm pretty amazing. Now, he's writing this because there are these people, as John talked to us last week about, the Judaizers who were coming in and saying, listen, it's great that you love Jesus, but before you get to love Jesus and be loved by him, there's a few things you're going to have to do. One of them is the physical act of circumcision. Paul comes behind that and he says, no, listen, we are the circumcision. We're the ones who have been circumcised. We no longer need that physical thing to help us understand what it means to walk with God. We are a living example of circumcision, who worship by the Spirit, who glory in Christ, who put no confidence in the flesh. And then Paul gives this litany of ascribed and attained honor. And then he says this amazing thing. He says, all that stuff that you're probably celebrating. Because I have to think that as this is, remember, this is read aloud. I got to think, is this being read aloud? People are like, yeah, Pharisee of the Pharisee, Hebrew of the Hebrews. This is Paul. He's our guy. He's on our team. He's amazing. And he goes, all that stuff you probably just celebrated in your heart and mind, that's all rubbish. That's all rubbish up and against the honor of being known by God in Christ. Can you say that? Can you say that? And sometimes I wonder, maybe it's even harder to say it the more of those little letters we get after our name, you know, PhD, MD, whatever we might get behind our name or titles we might even get before our names. Accolades that we might get, you know, the more trophies we have in the case or plaques we have on the wall, it might get harder to say all of this is rubbish up and against the surpassing knowledge of being known by God. I mean, have you ever been in somebody's house who's got all those things? And when they show them to you, they go, and all this, it's all garbage compared to the fact that Jesus knows me. Mm-hmm. See, we really have to understand what Paul has done here. It's really masterful because he laid out probably a life that so many people in this time would have loved to have had. And then he goes, that's all garbage up and against knowing Jesus. And he goes, whatever I've gained, I counted as loss for the sake of Jesus. He goes, all that stuff that seemed great, I'm willing to lose every bit of that so that I can know Jesus more.
I wonder if he also looked at the loss of all the time he invested, all the study, all the brain power, all the resources to achieve that. And then he's thinking, shoot, I could have spent all that time with Jesus, knowing him.
Sure. Sure. Well, let's just go around the room. When did you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? We'll start with Tad. What age were you?
Every time I read this passage about him, I'm going, wow, he's kind of talking about me, third generation in my church, up on the platform at a year and a half old, rattling off the memory verses. But then I didn't really become converted until I was about 13.
Yeah. Anybody else? What age?
13.
13?
12.
27.
I was pretty young. I like to say 4 or 5.
The eighth day?
About 4 or 5, I say that because I remember Sunday school and learning the words and thinking who Jesus was.
Yeah. I'm with Sharon. I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And so it's very easy for that to look back and go, golly, that was like 30 years that I could have, that you could count as loss, waste, mm-hmm. and yet not.
Mm-mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. Because I can look back and I can go, even in all of that, God was at work. Mm-hmm. God was laying foundation for later work. Mm-hmm. And so then Paul says this, for his sake, so he's saying for the sake of Jesus, I'm willing to suffer the loss of all things and to count all those things as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. He's saying everything that I count as value that I get rid of gives me space and room to glorify Jesus more. To glorify Jesus more. You know, I have all kinds, it's funny, because if you go in my office at the church, I have all kinds of things on my office. I have plaques on my there, I have my stuff that I had from when I was in the military. I helped the Great News Radio do some CDs, and I've got some stuff, those on the wall. I got all kinds of things on the wall. But my prized possession on the wall that I have is my baptism certificate. I mean, if there was a fire in my office and I could say, I hope one thing survives out of the treasure trove of things that are in there, it is that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only thing that matters. All that other stuff, that's nice.
I think it's interesting here. He's talking about all this stuff I've done, and then down at the bottom he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. So he's saying, even for all the stuff I've done, I'm still a work in progress too.
And it's great that you said that, because what I love about Paul is his honesty. And I think that was probably one of the hardest things for the people who knew Paul, for them to deal with. You know, I oftentimes will ask questions of people when I'm preaching or when I'm doing it, and I always raise my hand. And one time I had somebody come up to me and they said, why do you always raise your hand? And I said, because I'm in process. I'm one of those people. And they go, well, I don't really want you to tell me that. I don't really want you to tell me that you're a sinner. I don't really want you to tell me that Jesus is still working on you, because you have the title in front and you're standing up there. Please at least pretend to be perfect.
Wow.
What I appreciated about this person is they said the quiet thing out loud. Because I have a friend of mine who says, I spend 90% of my time trying to get off the pedestal because everybody else is spending 90% of their time trying to put me back on it. And it's interesting because that's what Paul does here, right? As we move from last week to this week, Paul says in verse 12, not that I've already obtained this or I am already perfect. Paul says, listen, you want to talk about a mess? That's me. I'm not perfect. All these things that Paul says, all this stuff that I told you in verses 1 through 11, that's the goal, but I'm not nailing it. Not at all. In fact, I love how the Bible includes moments where he's not nailing it. In Acts, he casts a demon out of a young girl, but does he do it because he loves her?
No, she was aggravated.
She was annoying him. And so Paul says, listen, I'm a work in progress. In fact, he'll even write later in the Bible to church and say, of the sinners, I'm chief. You know why? Because the closer we get to Jesus, the more we realize there's still work to do. When people tell me that they've got it all worked out, I worry that they're not close to Jesus. Because the closer I am to Jesus, the more convicted I am, and the farther I am from Jesus, the more I can live kind of in between my sin and Jesus.
Wasn't it Isaiah or Elijah that he was filthy rags, even though he's this great prophet.
Yeah. And so he's not that I've already attained this or I'm already perfect, but he says this, but I press on. See, we live in a culture that thinks that perfection where Jesus is concerned is the goal. The goal is not perfection. The goal is to press on. Because there's going to be so many things that you are going to encounter in your faith life that is going to make you lose heart, that is going to make you not want to press on. You are not pressing on to be perfect. You're pressing on towards the one who is perfect. And his name is Jesus. And Paul says the most important thing I think that we can hear is press on. And not only press on, but to make it my own. He's talking in terms of a personal relationship. He's not saying that he can own what has happened to him. Instead, what he's saying is that I press on to personally know Jesus in such a way that it looks like I actually own this faith, in such a way that I actually am taking care of this faith, that I love this faith, that I believe that it's of the greatest value to me. Because what we take care of, what we call our own, is what we value the most, whether it's an old car, your house, whatever it might be. And why does he want to do this? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. It's not that you know God, but rather that you are known by God. Paul says, I do all of this because Jesus knows me, because Jesus loves me. That always has to come first. It's not enough for you to say, I love Jesus. That sentence has to begin with, Jesus loves me. Because prior to that, you didn't know what love was, right? The Bible tells us that. We love because he
first loved us.
Exactly. I think sometimes our faith life is a constant battle of trying to put the cart before the horse. Putting our cart before the horse.
Yeah.
Or sometimes when I say that, my kids will joke with me. They'll say, Dad, it's a cart before the goat, because Jesus is the goat. Greatest of all time. Never mind. You got to live with teenagers.
Yes.
Thank God.
And it increases your prayer life, John. And then he says this, brothers, I do not... Now listen, hear how he's drilling down on this. I think the reason he's drilling down on this so much is not so that he can let them know how imperfect he is, but so that they understand how important it is for us to have a right perspective in light of Jesus. Because he says, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own. He comes back to that same thing. I'm not perfect. I'm not nailing it. Please don't think that I am. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. He said, what happened before? I need to put that in the right perspective. Now, for the Apostle Paul, why would that be so important?
He's referring back to the time when he was a persecutor of the church. He says, I've got blood on my hands. You guys think you're bad? I murdered believers before I became one myself.
Now listen, because I think this is masterful of Paul. I think this is masterful. And by the way, it's not masterful of Paul. It's masterful of the Holy Spirit who is inspiring and authoring this letter. Earlier, Paul has said, a Pharisee, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. And all the people who heard this probably went, said what?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which Paul, makes it even
Paul,
more
Paul
important.
Paul says, you don't understand any of that I said to you. You don't understand that in that being a Pharisee was condemning and shaming and guilting people on a regular basis. Was making a whole group of people who I was called to lift up to the Lord, I suppressed them and guilted them and shamed them and made them feel horrible to try and make them be faithful, not to God necessarily, but to me. Then he goes, and as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, he goes, you don't even know the names of the people I've killed. But I do. A number of years ago, there was a movie about the Apostle Paul, and during the movie, they did a really interesting thing. Every time he went to sleep, he had a dream. Did anybody see that movie? And so it's all about the Apostle Paul in his last days as he's in the prison and as he's waiting his death. And whenever he goes to sleep, he dreams about this little girl and her family that he killed. And I thought, as I watched that movie, I thought, I've never encountered this discussion about this baggage that Paul was probably carrying around. The powerful thing is that the movie, the end of the movie, is Paul dies, he's beheaded, and the last scene is him in heaven, and the girl who he murders comes up and takes his hand. You know, this this ultimate idea of the forgiveness of God. But Paul says, listen, forgetting what's behind, you don't understand how difficult that is, because you don't know what I've done. You've only heard the stories, and the stories have nothing to do with the reality and the truth of what I've done. The people that I've guilted and shamed, the lives I've destroyed, the people I've killed, and the way that I took righteousness under the law and used it as a weapon. When Paul tells him, you have to kind of put that in perspective, he's saying, it's not easy. Yeah. It's not easy at all. I think all of us, we went around the room, and I really don't think we should, because it would be very difficult, I think, conversation. I think we all have a little something in our rearview mirror that we go, golly. I mean, I know Jesus loves me, but that thing I did. And because we did them, we carry the memory of what that thing is. And so he says, but the one thing I do is I focus on Jesus. What lies ahead? And then he says, not only that, but I press on. Notice this is the second time he said press on. When I hear those things twice like that in this passage, I think that's him saying, I have to keep reminding myself to press on. Sort of like when he writes and he says, rejoice, I will say again, rejoice in the Lord. I think that's him going, I want to rejoice in the Lord. I have to rejoice in the Lord because there's every reason not to here. But I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. He's saying, listen, people, those other guys, they're immature. They're like little kids. You want to know what real maturity looks like? Real maturity looks like chasing after Jesus, pressing into him, trying to live his way of life as your way of life. And he goes, and I love this, he says this, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you also. He goes, if you don't think that that's true, any of what I've said is true, then you and God need to have a conversation. Because he's the one. I love Paul saying, it's not my idea. It's not my idea.
It's true.
It comes from God. You want to argue with somebody? Argue with God. It's interesting. I've had multiple times where I've preached something out of the Bible, and somebody's come up to me afterwards, and they go, I didn't like when you said that. And I go, you don't argue with me. Argue with the Bible. Because I didn't write it. And I struggle with it too.
Well, you know something else? You were talking about this whole honor thing. This is the same group of people. And he's saying, not only am I forgetting what happened in the past, my guilt, but all the honor I had, I'm also putting that behind me. Because the only thing that really is worthwhile is reaching towards the true honor that comes from Christ. Keep pushing forward. Forget about what's behind you, good or bad.
Yeah, exactly. And then he says, listen, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. He goes, I can be an example, but you have a lot of good examples. Find one and be encouraged by that example. And then he says, listen, don't be like those other guys, for many of whom I've often told you, and now I tell you even with tears. This is breaking his heart that he has to say this. These people, they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. By the way, these are the people who said they love God. Walk as the enemies of the cross of Christ. The end is their destruction. The God is their belly. They glory in their shame with mind set on earthly things. And then he says to the people who love living in Philippi, your citizenship is in heaven. He goes, you want to know where the most important place to live is? Not Philippi.
With the Savior.
Yeah, with the Savior. You know, listen, you can live in the nicest neighborhood in your town with the biggest houses, the best-looking lawns, and you can still be somebody who walks as an enemy of the cross of Christ, whose end is your destruction, whose God is your belly, who glories in his shame, whose mind is set on earthly things. Your address is in heaven. Your address is in heaven. And he says from there, with that perspective, we await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to even subject all things to himself. He says, listen, God's sovereign. He's got it all worked out from the beginning to the end. Where would you rather live? In Philippi or with him?
You know, Jason, I just wrote down, this is the kind of conversation we should have with our neighbors, our friends that haven't come to know the Lord yet.
Yeah, I think totally. I think totally. And listen, this is not a New Testament conversation, by the way. Remember back in Deuteronomy chapter 6? It's love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with your mind, and impress these things upon your children when you get up and when you walk down the road, when you lie down and all that. And then he says what? Write it on your foreheads and on the doorposts of your house.
Yeah.
Does the address of your house say that you live wherever you think you live, or does the address on your house say that you live with the Savior as a follower of Jesus? Will you join me as we pray? Father, we thank you that you have given us an address that transcends our earthly address, and that is an address with you in heaven. And Father, that is our ultimate destination, but while we live here, Father, help us to forget what was behind us. And help us to press on and press into Jesus. And Father, I pray that with that kind of focus, with that kind of perspective and direction, that we would count all the things that we used to think were of such value as rubbish up and against the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus and being known by Jesus. Father, I pray for all those who might be listening right now who don't know who Jesus is. Father, might they lay aside their trophies for the honor of being known by Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Listening friend, if there was a stirring in your heart, or maybe some of you are rededicating your lives to Jesus, or you want to talk to somebody and confirm the decision that you may be making today to follow Jesus, let me encourage you to call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. They're a great bunch. It's a free call. They'll answer your questions about the Christian faith, why you should follow Jesus, how to make him your Lord and Savior, why you can trust the Bible, how to begin that relationship with God. Call 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.